We're here for another episode of episode 3 of the I Know What I'm Talking About podcast. Here, I got another guy here that knows what he's talking about. I got my guy Marcus Harris here. Marcus used to play basketball at San Diego University, and then he ended up transferring to Sam Houston State in Huntsville, Texas. So, Marcus, you know, start off a little bit, you know, telling us about your, you know, where you were at in your collegiate career a little bit.
Yeah, so like you said, originally from San Antonio, Texas, went out to the University of San Diego, West Coast Conference, same conference as Gonzaga, BYU, St. Mary's, teams like that. Was there for 2 years, ended up transferring to Sam Houston State, set out for a year, and then played 2 years there as well. That's the Southland Conference, so that's teams like Stephen F. Austin are in that conference, but now they're in the WAC. So, but yeah, that's where I went to college, played basketball there for about a total of 5 years.
Well, okay, I got you. So I remember before while you were at San Diego, I remember you had got like a really bad like eye injury where I think somebody had elbowed you or somebody like, you know, hit you pretty good in your eye like while you were at San Diego.
Yeah. It was like we were playing University of San Francisco at home. Probably the last minute of the game, I went to go set a screen and some dude elbowed me in my eye socket. Broke my eye socket. Hell, had to have a plate put in there and all kinds of stuff, man.
Damn. So how long did that keep you out? Because I remember hearing about that, and then just hearing it about it, I thought, like, I was like, oh, shit, like, it's his career in jeopardy.
Honestly, I played, like, a week and a half later, I think. I had the surgery. They put, like, a dissolvable plate underneath my eye. And then within a week and a half, I had a face mask, and I played at Loyola Marymount University the next game, which was in L.A. So I was only out for maybe a week and a half, bro.
That's crazy. Just hearing it, it sounds like you're going to be out for a long-ass time. But, damn, I did not know your recovery time was that short. But
no, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. But so when you transferred, I know this because I remember going to that game where you – I think it was a – I can't remember what type of game it was, but I think if I'm not mistaken, maybe some type of, you know, postseason tournament game where y'all were playing UTSA when you were at Sam Houston State, and I believe you didn't play because you had broke your foot.
Yeah, man. I had broke my foot. Shoot, had to have surgery on it twice. Yeah, you know, it's part of being an athlete. That's kind of also why I stopped playing, man. Okay. Being hurt and trying to do rehab is annoying.
Exactly. So when did you have any more years of eligibility left, or, you know, you kind of just?
No, I was done, man. The 2 years I did at San Diego, then I had to sit out 1 year for transferring D1 to D1, and then I played the last 2 years. So, no, I exhausted all my eligibility.
Right. Okay. I got you. So I want to go on to the NIL because I believe yesterday was like the 1 year anniversary of the name, image, and likeness. So honestly, do you think that the NCAA, you know, just from all this negative stuff that, you know, because I've seen like some college coaches, they don't really like it because, you know, you got boosters at 4 year schools that are, you know, hanging this amount of money over, you know, high school seniors and transfers heads and things like that. So do you think that, like, you know, the NCAA will eventually make changes to the rules of the NIL?
Yeah, of course. They're definitely going to have to make changes and regulate some of it. I mean, you know, it's not fair to some of the other schools who don't have that kind of capital. But I think I like it, though, man. I mean, for years now, they've been making a lot of money off of 18 to 22-year-old kids back. So I mean, it's about time they get paid. And I mean, really, it's only for like Power Five schools, you know, smaller mid-major schools, unless you like in Gonzaga or something like that. They're not really handing out too many big NIL deals. I mean, it's still the same thing on those levels. But as far as like Power Five schools, I think it's a good idea. They just kind of have to regulate it a little bit.
Right. Yeah, because I was seeing, you know, I'm pretty sure you've seen this, because I know maybe a year ago when the talks of the NCAA, you know, approving all that stuff for the NIL, I remember like Dabo Sweeney, the head coach at Clemson for the football team, he was completely against it because he didn't want no athlete, you know, to make as much money as him off of, you know, his name, basically. So I'm like, you know, I was pretty much all for it, like 100%. But I mean, I do, to be honest, I'd be seeing some mid-major schools, you know, a player that has, you know, Power Five talent, he's wanting to go to a Power Five school, you know, somewhere like, you know, UT or Baylor. And you got another school, you know, a mid-major school, somebody like UTSA or, you know, North Texas, hanging a certain amount of money over, you know, over that player's head. And, you know, that's going to cost the head coach of that Power Five school, because he's losing Power Five talent, you know, because of money, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they got the advantages, man. Like, if you haven't been an athlete before, you gotta understand. I mean, Power Five schools, the whole setup is different, man. You know, they live in a different life. I mean, all athletes live in a different life, but I don't think that's too big of a concern. Just because, one, if the kid's probably going there, it's probably based upon playing time and a lot of other factors too involved with it, but. Exactly. I don't really see that being a big issue for the Power Five schools, honestly, man.
Okay, I got you. So now I want to make this jump real quick to the NBA real quick. So I know you, if I'm not mistaken, you're a Lakers fan, right?
Yes, sir.
So first, I want to know what move would you like to see them do this offseason, or maybe – yeah, this offseason, you know, since free agency already started, what moves would you like to see them do?
Man, I only want to see one move, and it's to get Westbrook out of there. That's what I want to see. I don't care how they get it done. I just don't want that dude on my team no more.
Oh, man. It's funny. It's funny because I was just telling people, I'm like, some of the mistakes that he's making with the highlights and stuff, because, you know, he's doing layups, but it's hitting the bottom of the backboard.
Or hitting the top of the back. Yeah, man. He just don't have no more pace, I guess. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he need to go. And he getting $47 million to waste 2 years of LeBron's end of his career.
Yeah. And you are right. It does seem like he's losing, like he's lost control, like he can't control his pace anymore. Because I'm like, it doesn't look right. It looks like he's like doing this on purpose. Like,
It does. Sometimes, yeah, it's pretty bad sometimes. I'm like,
because I've never seen a player in the NBA. I've never seen a Division I player kind of do the things that it, like the mistakes that he's making. I'm like, honestly, it's not like just mistakes. Like, he's like, these are like, what are you doing? Like, are you doing this on purpose?
Right, it looks like he's sabotaging on purpose, yes, at some point. And he might have. He didn't like Frank Vogel, so maybe he'll be different. But I just need him out of L.A., man.
Yeah, because I've seen that the new coach, Ham, they were talking about how they want to make things with Westbrook work. But now I just seen last night or earlier today that they trying to get something done with him and Kyrie. Just basically probably doing, you know, a swap of them two, but adding in probably a couple more players. So I'm pretty sure you would like that.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Shoot, get him out of here. Like I said, man, I don't care what we got to do. I just don't want him there. He's taking up space.
Right, exactly. So one other thing I wanted to get to, I remember, and I was just asking the other dude that I had on, Ethan, last week about this too. So I remember I was seeing a Chris Bouchard. He was last week. He was talking about how he was talking about Kyrie. This was all pertaining to Kyrie. He was basically saying that the NBA has a AAU culture where players tell you what to do. They play when they want to play. They show up when they want to show up. So would you say that the new culture now with this new generation of players coming in and coming up, would you say that that culture, you know, has gotten to the NBA now?
Oh, yeah, man. Shoot. You see all these dudes forcing their way out. But, I mean, it is what it is. They grown, man. They can make their own decisions. I don't feel like you got to be loyal to an organization. I don't get people that loyal to their job. You know what I'm saying? They're going to replace you as soon as you're gone anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I can't hate on that. Just because you make a lot of money don't mean you don't got feelings. So, if you're not happy in a situation or you want to leave, you know, do what you got to do. But some of it is a little extra, like John Wall. Like that was bad. But like maybe like a, I'm trying to think of an example where I was like it wasn't too bad of a. I don't know, man. But it is a big AAU culture now. But I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying about that. But one other thing that I did also want to get onto was, I know that there's a lot of, you know, with the NBA free agency, there's a lot of players, you know, I guess you could say, you know, a lot of movement maybe in the Western Conference, because I've seen that the favorites for the finals, I mean, you know, to win next season would be the Warriors, Celtics, the Clippers, the Nets, and the Bucks. To me, I don't care what nobody says. I really don't care what nobody says, because I'm Kawhi's number one fan. I know he be sitting out, you know, he's one of the people you could say that, I guess you could probably say that brought in an AAU type of culture, because he sits out whenever he wants to. If something's sore on him, he's going to sit out. He
doesn't right.
know what he thinks. So would you say, because I know I've seen, I think it says Las Vegas has the Warriors, the Celtics, Clippers third, Nets fourth. Yeah, I don't think they're going to be fourth for long. And then the Bucks. So if the Lakers make this trade, you think that they're going to end up like back in the, you know, just off of just being favorites, do you think that they'll be like top five?
Even though I'm a Laker fan, I'm realistic. You got to factor in that AD is injury prone.
Right.
You know, I don't know how Kyrie going to wake up in the morning on any given day. So I'm not going to say just because they get him, they're a contender. And plus, bro, the West is loaded, man. Whoever coming out the West is going to win the ring to me. So,
yeah,
the West is loaded as always.
Yeah, I mean, I want Milwaukee because, I mean, I seen the Warriors, they losing. They didn't damn near lost every bench guy except for Poole. And then I like the Bucks, but I mean, who the Celtics just traded for, and you know who they got now. I don't know about them anymore. But the Lakers, I know.
What you mean? You don't like Malcolm Brogdon?
I mean, yeah, I do like Brogdon, but I'm saying, I probably said this wrong, but the Bucks, I've always been rooting for them because they always had the best vet. Like, they had a good mixture of young talent, and then the vets, they had a good mixture of that. But now, who the Celtics just got, I'm saying, like, and then because Milwaukee's not really making no moves that much. So, I mean, now I'm feeling like probably the Celtics will be the favorite to come out the East again, because Miami, they don't really – I don't know what they're going to do with Kyle Lowry. So, but
– no, yeah, Boston probably going to come out the East. But, man, Jason Tatum need to go take a look in the mirror, bro, because what I saw in that final series was – you first-team All-NBA, bro? Come on.
I mean, he – it was – it just looked – I mean, I'm over here getting my words twisted, but he, I'm not going to say Andrew Wiggins, because I was talking about this, like, you know, on my first show that I did. Wiggins was guarding him a lot during that series. And I'm not going to sit here and say Wiggins was locking him up, because when I, like, if you really watching it, he was still getting to his spots. He was still getting to his spots, taking the shots he wanted, turnaround jumper. He was still doing all that. He was just missing everything. He was just missing bad. And he was trying to be like a playmaker. And he just, him and Brown were just turning the ball over crazy, just at a high rate. But, and I thought Derek White would be a difference, you know, in the playmaking. You help out with Marcus Smart. But, I mean, I guess it just comes down to experience, and they all like that.
Well, man, I get it. They're young, but at this point, they've been in the league for about 5-6 years. They veterans, man. You can't use that excuse for but so long.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they just play selfishly sometimes. But when they move the ball, they're a good team. But when they play selfish and try to attack double teams and get downhill with four dudes in the paint, it's just that's when you see all those turnovers and bad possessions. And then when you play in a team like the Warriors that's gonna get hot and go on a 20-0 run in 6 minutes, it's hard to compete with that, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Having Brogdon, though, that's why I like it. He's going to change the pace of the game. You know what I'm saying? He's going to control the game a little bit better than Marcus Smart. But that was a good pickup for him.
Right, exactly. But I'm still stuck, you know, with the Lakers, because I know last season whenever the Big Three played, whenever Westbrook, Davis, and LeBron played, they were like 11-12.
Yeah, so wasn't good.
Yeah, they really didn't even play that much. They only played, you know, that's 11-12. That's, what, 23 games, I believe. And then 23 and 39 when one or more of them were out. When LeBron and AD are out, or just one of them is out. So, like you said about Kyrie, him waking up in the morning, how he's going to feel, it's up in the air if we're going to see some significant improvement from them, to be honest.
I mean, they're going to improve if they get Kyrie, let alone, but I just can't. I'm not going to sit there and say they're going to win a championship, you know?
Exactly. So the last thing that I want to get to real quick. So do you honestly think, since Steph Curry got his fourth ring, he finally got a finals MVP. Do you think that finals MVP would, push him up in like the all time rankings? And do you think that do you believe that he was already top 10, or do you think he got that fourth championship and that ring and that finals MVP? Do you think that he is top 10 all time now?
If you don't have him top 10, you don't know basketball, man. I mean, I don't even know how it's an argument, bro. He got four rings, a finals MVP, and he's the all-time leading three-point scorer in the history of basketball. He changed the game, bro. I'm seeing eight-year-olds pull from 30 feet, like, come on. Like, exactly. Yeah, top 10, easy. Gotta be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Gotta be. Bro, from Davidson? Come on, that's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And then I know he was saying that, I think after his freshman year at Davidson, Duke was trying to get him to transfer over there. But one more thing that I want to get to, one more thing that I think is important also. So I know Paolo Banchero, he was the first pick. You know, people thought he was going to the Rockets. So where the team that he's on now, the Magic, do you really think he's going to stay there his whole career?
Of course not. I'm going to be honest with you. The only Paolo Banchero games I'm probably going to catch is the highlights on SportsCenter. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't watching the Magic.
Oh man. I mean, when he saw that, I know he was deep down inside, he has to be disappointed.
I mean, they all are, but that's part of being great. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna go to most likely a bad team if you're that good. So yeah. It is what it is, but yeah, no, I'm not catching no Orlando Magic games, man. I'm gonna have to catch the highlights.
I'ma tune in at least once. I'ma tune in at least once because they gonna. I'm
right sure. when they play a team that's on TV though.
Yeah, probably the best we could do right now. We might be able to catch them on Summer League. Well, yeah, we'll be able to catch them Summer League, but that might
for sure. For sure, I'm gonna definitely watch that. But as far as watch, I'm not looking out for no Orlando Magic games.
Oh man, that's funny though. But it's just, I really think that the Clippers, if Kawhi stays healthy, I'm sorry, I really, even if that trade is done with Kyrie. I really think they can beat the Lakers with Kyrie, even if all three of them are healthy. LeBron, Kyrie, AD. I really think they can beat them. I think I mean I'm about 60-65% sure they can beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. I'm pretty sure I'm missing out on other teams, but the defensive matchups that the Clippers have, I feel like, because, you know, Paul George and Kawhi, they're versatile in who they can guard. And I think that's what helps give them an advantage when they're on the floor.
Yeah, bro, they got Marcus Morris, who is a problem. They got John Wall now. And then Zubac, who every dude we let go for whatever reason turns exactly into a player. But He's a good five. Yeah, man. No, they got it. Their team's loaded now. They just, if they can stay healthy is the question.
Yeah, because I was a little bit surprised what they did with the Jazz the season before in the postseason. They got to the West Finals and they played without Kawhi and got the 6 games. But, I mean, and they still got to the play-in this past season. But I really like the Clippers, to be honest, though, man. Yeah, but that's all I got for y'all today. That's all we got for y'all today. So tune in for another one next Sunday. We're going to be back same time. Well, I am, though. We're going to be back for the same time next Sunday, 7:30. See y'all.